Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 14th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 70, the fourth paragraph. In this book, you read again, through one paragraph ending, big chunks of truth about yourself, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Leland P., readers of the text, Anne S.C.H., Vanessa G., and Joan Marie M. The reference number for Monday, January 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,074. That's 22074. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22076. That's 22076. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Diane B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Don. Leland P., recovering compulsive overeater in Germany. The 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 70, the fourth paragraph. In this book, you read again through one paragraph ending big chunks of truth about yourself, commenting on this one paragraph today. I will ask Anne SCH to read and then share with us. Star 1, Anne.
Sorry about that, Dawn. Thank you. My name is Anne SCH, a recovered compulsive overeater from British Columbia, Canada. In this book, you receive again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. So in terms of this paragraph, the voice has changed from we to you. So this book is a book of directions. And it also is telling us that we need to read it again and again. And it again and again for a buildup of faith. And for me, this buildup of faith is the critical part, is we hope you have covered now what God can remove, whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. And for this particular person, compulsive overeater, coming back from a 15-year relapse of gaining almost 100 pounds, the self-will, it's a small word, but actually it's all the character defects, the selfishness, self-seeking. I have all those. and all their behavioral characteristics that go with them. And when I study this paragraph, it always tells me about how vision step three is necessary in terms of our relationship with God, and that decision to do the steps, to do the inventory, step four. It talks about a grosser handicaps. And in preparation again for looking at this paragraph, grosser is like, when I first read grosser, I thought it was, oh, those despicable characteristics, those things that are not dirty, things like that. But actually, the original dictionary meaning of grosser is like lots of handicaps. Handicaps that I self-inflicted on myself, that self-will, self-pity, selfishness, more concerned about myself than others, and not making that connection that by self-hating myself, by overeating and binging, that I was acting out of God. I was not in God's will. That was not what God had. His will for me was not that. It was blocking him. And it was like throwing more garbage into the tunnel so I couldn't see his light. And it was only when I recognized that I was worshiping at the wrong altar, that I was not, when I, any, you know, the refrigerator and my, it was really not even the refrigerator when I think about it. It was the drive-thru. That was where I was going for my spiritual fitness, which was so, misguided in my thinking. So the last sentence in this paragraph, it's so true that you can swallow and digest some big chunks of truth about yourself. But considering this is a book for Alcoholics Anonymous, what a true statement in 2025. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, NSCH, for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ. Was that Sharit L?
Yes, Sarit, Sarit.
Kristen R.
Okay, I got Sarit L, and then there was a name before Kristen R. Who's before Kristen R? Was there another name in there?
Julie E.B., Colorado.
Julie E.B.?
Before, after, whenever.
Okay. I have Karen, KZ, Sarit L, Julie E.B., Kristen R. Who else? Okay, let's start there. Go ahead, Karen, KZ, followed by Sarit L, and your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you. This is Karen, KZ, in Missouri. And this paragraph, these paragraphs have new meanings for me every time I read them. So today what stands out for me is that if I've made the decision in the inventory, I've swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about myself. And I love that. These character defects that, you know, I learned about and I learned to apply in my four-step inventory, they serve me well every day. As I look at my selfishness, my self-seeking, my dishonesty, and my fear, I see where I create most of the suffering in my life because it's how I respond to life. And so I just love that. And right now I am riddled with fear. And as on page 67 in the big book, it says that fear is an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. I'm having carpal tunnel surgery tomorrow. And fear is, by the way, my biggest defect that shows up every day. But, I made the wrong decision. I shouldn't be doing this. I'll never be able to use my hand again. It's my dominant hand. I'm not going to be able to write. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And fear is such a waste of life. And every day I ask God to remove my fear because I have fear every day. and to direct my attention to who he'd have me be. And it's always to trust him that he's got me. He's in this with me. In fact, this decision, I usually ask all these questions. I think about it. I ponder it. I made this decision so quickly, but I really know it's because I've invited God to take over my life, my thoughts, my words, and my actions, and he's taking over. So I just have to keep remembering that he led me to this, and he's going to be with me through it, and that I need to keep my trust in him. And it's okay to acknowledge that I have fear and not beat myself up about it, but to know that the only way through it is God. So thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Sarit L., it's your turn, followed by Julie EB.
Hi, it's Sarit L. from Montreal, recovered compulsive overeater. And this is just such a beautiful paragraph because it starts by telling me that I have read again and again that faith did for me what I cannot do for myself. And we hope you're convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. That sentence, it's interesting that it says it right here after doing, after working through my inventory. I feel like after years of being, you know, in recovery and continuously doing step 10s and trusting my higher power with situations that were so hard to trust him with, I can say I'm convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked me off from him because I've seen it. I've had experience of my God working in my life better than, you know, in any ways, better than many ways, in any ways that I could have thought of. And I don't know if I could have said that when I was just starting to work, you know, my step work and just the beginning process. But I've seen it now, and I've been a privy, you know, to God working in my life in such ways, just miraculous ways where, you know, I've heard it said on these lines, I can tell you the day where I put down the food, my abstinence date, but I can't necessarily tell you the exact date when my resentment towards my mom left me or when I started feeling love towards a child, when I didn't respond angrily when that kid asked me for a cup of water and it was the 100th time, etc. You know, like this is where the recovery lies. And this is the miracles that when we show up day after day after day, you know, doing the step work again and again, you know, sometimes it's the same step 10s that keep triggering us or the same fears that keep coming up and we keep doing the step work around it, you know, God will, you know, layer by layer by layer, step by step, sometimes even half a step. But I believe every time I do step work around a situation or a fear or a resentment, God will remove some part of it, you know, so that I'm not living in my complete self-will run riot. And one day I will be able to share that, you know, that resentment's gone or that fear is gone. Completely, because I've had that experience. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share and keep coming back. This program works.
Thank you so much, Sarit L. from Montreal, Canada. Julie EB, it's your turn to share, followed by Kristen R.
Hi, this is Kristen. I'm doing overeater, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. I'm so glad for this line that is for me both a prayer, a plea, and a promise that faith will do for me what I cannot do for myself. I remember laying on my pillow just sobbing, asking that my higher power would do for me what I cannot do for myself. It comes up several times here in the book. And for me, it's one of the first step promises in a way. First step prayers, I mean, I can ask my sponsees to say, higher power, do for me what I can't do for myself. And every time I'm praying it, it's also an instruction that God would do for me what I can't do for myself, because it's an admission that there are things I cannot do for myself. And it's when I come up against those walls where there's certain things I just cannot do for myself, that I begin to almost challenge God, please do for me what I can't do for myself. and see what happens. That time I was sobbing, my son got into this, two of the causes of his dreams, but they wanted us to have money we just didn't have. And I prayed that God would do for me what I couldn't do for myself. I did some 10 steps, and he shared with me that there was an appeals process. But since then, in the 7+ years, there's been so many more miracles. And I prayed it for other people. God, please do for them what they can't do for themselves. And it makes me realize life is not about self-will. Self-will is my disease. Life is really about, for me, the gift of God showing me 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time, 1 step out of the food at a time, 1 step out of my character defects at a time, that indeed there's something bigger than me. And everything that I'm not trying to do myself, life just evolves. And it doesn't always go my way, but God has done for me what I cannot do for myself. And I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share. Julie E.B. in Colorado.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. If you're just joining us, we're talking about page 70, that fourth paragraph. In this book, you read again through one paragraph ending big chunks of truth about yourself. And we're finishing out the chapter today. So after Kristen R. shares, I will be taking some more names. So please get ready to say your name and where you're calling from, and look forward to hearing your share about this paragraph. So Kristen R., it's your turn to share.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. So swallowed and digested chunks of truth. This past weekend, I met with another fellow, and we talked about the unconscious ways that our binge eating had developed. And for me, after I was a long time and prayed and thought about it, and I realized that my self-will that's blocking me from God is actually this sense of disgust I have towards myself. This is like a real, like, beyond self-loathing. And because this self-disgust is so destructive, it kept me relapsing over and over and over again in this program, you know, and ignoring it and pretending it wasn't there has done me no good, because it's the real reason that I have been blocked from God, from my higher power. And when I get locked off from the sunlight of the spirit, there's nothing I can do around food. I'm completely addicted. I'm in the food. I'm eating the plate of cookies that was put down for a group, you know, all for myself, right in front of them. You know, it's striking how much I've learned about myself from this program. But what is more amazing is that the more I learn about myself, the more I realize life isn't about me and my little world, that there's a big world out there, and I'm here to contribute, not to just sit and navel gaze about my own issues and problems, not to spend time in my bedroom alone reading and writing because, you know, and ignoring my two teenagers and my husband. And doing it for hours on end, you know, just trying to think about myself and what would work best for me. And that's not what my higher power wants for me. That's the disgust that blocks me off from my higher power. That disgust moves me, and it blocks my, you know, my will. Oh, my disgust runs my will. I hope that makes sense. But in any case, thank you for letting me share. I'm so grateful for the program and so grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. from Virginia. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're talking about page 70, that fourth paragraph. Starts with, in this book, you read again through one paragraph ending big chunks of truth about yourself. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Barbara S.
Barbara S. Who else would like to share? Press star 1.
Amy K. in Virginia.
Amy K., Virginia.
Joan Marie M., Nevada.
Joan Marie M.
Gabby H., Idaho.
Gabby, was that Gabby H.?
No, Jackie J.
Okay, Jackie H. from Ohio, was it? Okay, anyone else want to get in on this lineup? Okay, let's go ahead with Barbara S., Amy K., Joan Marie M., and Jackie H. Barbara S., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Barbara. I'm from New York City. Glad to be here. This paragraph has me thinking that after this call, I'm going to review my last time I did my fourth step about fear, because even to today, and I've done the fourth step a number of times, I waste time and fear. I waste time and fear. I sometimes do struggle about higher power, and when I say there is a higher power for me, there is a God, I say, God, what should I do about this fear? And I just, the answer, if God loves me, and that's how I have to think, is go forward, Barbara, go forward. I have to do it in a very repetitive way over and over again, not at that moment, but continue to work program. And that's my reminder, repeat, repeat, repeat. Because every time I say, and God lets me know, go forward, it has worked. There's no guarantee it always will, but at least I won't be wasting time. I'm in my fourth quarter of life here, and I don't know how much, well, we got, none of us know how much time, but it's great to be on this meeting and have this reminder. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara S. from New York. Amy K. from Virginia, it's your turn to share, followed by Joan Marie M.
Hi, everybody. My name is Amy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And I love this summarizing sentence. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. The Big Book uses words like beginning, commencing over and over again. It lets me know that I'm going to wake up every single day and I'm going to begin again. And that's not the bad news. That's the good news. It also uses conception. It doesn't use the word concept, which would be an idea that's already formed, but conception, the beginning of an idea. So it also tells me that I can have new ideas every single day. I can have a newer, bigger, better God every single day. And this decision that I make, which I've done this with women in circles on my knees saying the third step prayer, but the truth of the matter is the decision is that I'm going to keep working these steps, the rest of these steps. There is no other way to turn over my will in my life. It's actually an act against my will to let go and to surrender. The grosser handicaps that I find appear in that fourth column. I'm selfish. I wake up every day with a script on how the world should unfold in order to make me feel a certain way. I'm dishonest. I don't accept reality. I manufacture my own reality, which is the source of most of my pain and the source of the pain I impose on others. That cascades into self-seeking behaviors. Anything I can do to get more positive attention on me, and that usually involves putting you down so that I can feel elevated. And then the fear, the self-centered fear that's always there, that launches me into the self-pity, the self-indulgence, the selfishness, the way of life where I am at the center of everything that just doesn't work out for me. These grosser handicaps have kept me in a maddening cycle of diminishing returns, believing that every bite or every blame of another promises the satisfaction that the last bite or finger pointed had failed to deliver. I have this battle cry of bigger, better, more, as if that's going to be what satisfies me. I've lived in the seduction of and the relentless promise of satisfaction just beyond my grasp. And what this sentence tells me, anchors me in, is that I get to wake up every day and begin again with a God who loves me more than I can comprehend. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Amy K. from Virginia. Joan Marie M., it's your turn to share, followed by Jackie H., and then I'll be taking some more names in case you're just happen to be joining us. We are on page 70, that fourth paragraph that starts with, "In this book, you read again through one paragraph, ending big chunks of truth about yourself," and we're finishing out the chapter today. So, Joan Marie M., please share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow. I love this paragraph. And it says that in this book we read again and again. So many times it's been repeated over and over different things about the program, about how God does for us what we could never do for ourselves. I could never stop eating. Every time, food was on my mind constantly. And so then it also says about being convinced. It's a progress. It doesn't happen right away for some of us. We just learn more and more about the program, about God, about the 12 steps and how to live that way, you know, and also. But then when you make a decision, you have to do the action. And for me, that says prayer, asking God, what would you have me do? What is my next best step? Always in prayer, always thinking about others instead of always thinking about self. That's a psychic change. That's a spiritual awakening. And thank you so much for letting me share. I love your shares. I'll pause for now. Bye.
And thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Jackie H., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take some more names. Star one, Jackie. Okay, perhaps Jackie H. had to step away.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
All right, so hi guys, Jackie H. in Idaho. Thank you everybody for your shares. Pretty much said everything I was going to say, but you know, we always say it in a different way and people hear it differently, so here it goes. You know, after doing fourth, fifth step, that inventory, seeing those huge chunks of myself, ooh, that was hard to swallow. You know, finding out that I actually live in fantasy, that I'm dishonest, that I lie to people, and that many times I lie to them by not saying. I just don't say, right? But then I turn it around and I complain and I blame and, you know, it's their fault. Now I'm in resentment and it all started with me. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, and the fact that I don't want to take personal responsibility. I want you to take care of me. I want you to serve me. I'm a pleasure seeking. Like, how can I get more pleasure from life? How can I get more pleasure from you? You're disturbing me if you start to act a certain way. And I may be very gracious about it and act like I care. But behind that, my motive is you're making me uncomfortable and I want to feel good. So could you cut that out? I didn't realize how selfish and self-seeking I was and how I harmed others in what I did and how I applied pressure on people being so gracious and saying it so lovely. But really saying, again, you're making me uncomfortable. Would you change what you're doing? Never, never a God in there.
And I used to think that I, you know, that I had a faith in God, that I trusted God. But no, I mean, I still get called on managing quite a bit because, as someone said, fear is a huge character defect of mine. And so I deal with that every day. And how does that fear show up? It shows up in me managing, trying to make everything just fall into place so that I can be comfortable, because I don't like to feel uncomfortable, and learning to sit in my emotions. When God brings them up in me, when he shows me something and I get uncomfortable, that is an opportunity for me to lean into his arms and let him work through me. But I still try to manage first. So I'm learning, and I'm almost a year in March. I'm coming up on a year, and I'm like, shouldn't I be getting it by now? But my sponsor continually reminds me, you don't even have a year yet. You are practicing, and it takes time to build a relationship. And my God, if I can actually, you know, one of the things that came, I just didn't realize that, you know, it is hard for me to truly care about others. I'm just always concerned with my own self. So how can I take personal responsibility for that? How can I let God work through me? How can I be a vessel for him that I can be of service in the highest way I can be? And many times it starts with me taking personal responsibility for my own stuff first. And then I can show up for another person. So that's all I got today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. from Idaho. And I'll now be taking a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 70, the last paragraph in the chapter there that starts with, in this book, you read again through one paragraph ending big chunks of truth about yourself. Who would like to share? Ann M?
Jen M?
Jen M? I have an Ann M and a Jen M, and I believe that's correct. Who else would like to share? Okay, let's go with those two names. Ann M., please get us started, followed by Jen M., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Ann M. from Washington State. I appreciate everyone on this meeting and leader, and my thoughts on this go back to someone in a meeting who said in 2015, actually, and I wrote this down, that this book, the big four, it focuses on the big four in myself, and resentment, fear, sex, and money. And I had a food problem about this. I had a weight problem about this. I had junk inside that I need to look at. Here is the answer to all of it. This is how it works in this book. I can resolve that. And in the last sentence, which is, it's interesting that it says, that being so, you have swallowed and digested some big truths about yourself. I swallowed food for years, covering up these resentments and fears and sex problems and money problems. And if I now am ready to do the step work and the really hard work, hard look at myself, then I can use this book to show me how to do that. And there are steps in order, and I do the 10th step when I have frustration that I'm not getting my way. Dang, I want to have my way all the time. I'm like a stomping 2-year-old, you know, a toddler who wants things my way because I feel uncomfortable. I just had this recently with, you know, wanting someone to do something and they're not doing it my way. And then I listen to the shares and I read this book and I think, that's what it is. It's that I'm uncomfortable because things are not going my way and I want it. And I have to laugh. So thank you, everyone, for sharing your wisdom on this. And I appreciate my sponsor who recently passed away. And, oh, my, she was such a font of wisdom on the Big Book and how to work this program. And I do it, and I think of that every day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington, and so sorry for your loss. Jen M., it's your turn to share.
Hi, I'm Jen M. from Ottawa, Canada. I'm only on step one, and I started only about 4 months ago. And I wanted to share that I started out with a huge resistance to the presence of God in OA, but this passage is making me reflect on I think the early miracle of this program is that acting as if for me was my way of experiencing that faith is doing for me what I can't do for myself, as this passage states. I never thought I could put down my alcoholic foods. I would try to keep them all in moderation and bargain about them, but I am a compulsive overeater, I think truly of that alcoholic type that they talk about in the doctor's opinion. And slowly, gradually, gently, God is bringing me on board and has worked with me and I think removed myself well, at least for today, so that I can be entirely abstinent. I'm learning that God is and will be found, I think, in my abstinence. This I've felt sort of like a gentle deepening of faith growing. It's growing my trust also that there is a power greater than myself, and that is helping me to trust that I can lean on that power as I move forward in my step work. So thank you for reading this passage today, and thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jen M. from Ottawa, Canada. And we're talking about page 70, that fourth paragraph in the book, You Read Again, through one paragraph ending big chunks of truth about yourself. We're talking about that last paragraph in the chapter today. And who would like to share on this paragraph? We do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? I'll take two names. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Who else would like to share?
Betsy H.
Betsy H. Okay, I heard Betsy H., so we'll go and please come back tomorrow, that other third voice there. Would love to hear from you. But Elaine B., your turn, followed by Betsy H.
Thank you so much for your beautiful service. So in this book, we read again and again, faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. This is where we get to explore and learn exactly what self-will blocked us off and will continue to. That's why we need to keep doing steps 10 and 11, 10 and 11 every day, reviewing our day and looking for those things that block us from God. I don't think that there's, many days that pass that I don't find that somehow I have my own self-will run riot or my own unrealistic expectations or my own lack of experience, strength, and hope in an area that we can reach out to others to say, have you ever had this experience? And I love having community where we can do that. So instead of just going and hiding and trying to run the show myself, that self will run riot really does create a riot in my peace, my sensibility. Oh, boy. And so since I have made this decision and an inventory of my grosser handicaps. You know, that was just the beginning. And I swallowed and digested a lot of things about myself, but I get to continue to do that daily with my 10th step and my 11th step. Because guess what? This side of heaven, never going to be perfect, never going to be. So I can just accept that these good, orderly directions will help me get through one day at a time. And when I'm off half a bubble, I'm going to be like the Leaning Tower of Pizza. So I can straighten out again with these good, clear-cut instruction. And the main thing is keeping that relationship with God healthy, open, consistent. And God is the one that keeps my relationship with food, with people, with circumstances manageable. And never said it's going to be easy, but I'll get the help and the support that I need to make it through one day at a time. And so can you. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. Betsy H., it's your turn to share.
Hi, this is Betsy H., a recovered compulsive reader in California. And looking here at this paragraph and thinking about, it's so humbling to look at my character defects. A lot of times as a human being, I have behavior. I've behaved in ways that I don't feel good about that really don't reflect my true self. And I see my true self now as a child of God, but living in this human experience, you know, I mess up. You know, I'm yelling at people. I'm saying I'm criticizing. I'm saying negative stuff, or I'm focusing on trying to get something for myself more than how can I be of service here. And but somehow, just going through this inventory, this steps 4 through 9. It cleans up all that stuff, because all that negative stuff in my ego, harms I do to people, that really blocks me from my higher power. And I need a higher power so that I don't have to eat compulsively today, and so that I can have a more positive life today, of more dignity and honor, respect. I need that higher power. Anything that blocks me off from that higher power is very dangerous. It's like I need a good Wi-Fi connection with God, or I need a good cell phone connection. I really can't do what I need to do if I don't have a good Wi-Fi connection, or if I don't have electricity, or I don't have a good cell phone connection. So that's what the steps do. It's a technology to remove those things that are blocking me from my higher power. I need that higher power every day so I can be abstinent today and in recovery. Just like I need that higher power to keep my lungs breathing every day, keep my heart beating. I also don't have the ability to do that on my own.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you. And have a good day in recovery today.
Oh, thank you so much, Betsy H. Fantastic way to close out our meeting there. Thank you to everyone who shared. And we're now going to close with a reading on the Big Book from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And if you happen to be new, please stick around to the very end of the meeting when we'll allow you a chance to announce your name and number and give sponsors a chance as well. So Vanessa G., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.